During this edition of the State Capitol Report on this Independence Day, we will talk about what our guest calls 10 wins to celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk with Matt Rothschild, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about how he says we the people accomplished some significant legislative victories in Wisconsin in the past year by stopping some things in state government. So what did we stop? We'll find out, and we'll wonder what you think. Do you think that the past year was generally a good one or a bad one for Wisconsin politics? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Matt Rothschild is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. His recent piece is 10 wins to celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin, and we have posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Joy. Thanks for having me on. Happy July 4th.
Yeah, happy July 4th. Why did you choose to peg your list of these victories to Independence Day?
Well, I think people need to get a sense that we're not just losing here in the state of Wisconsin, those of us who believe in democracy and good government and who've opposed a lot of the, what I call the counter-revolution of Scott Walker and Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald. Because, you know, after Act 10, especially, after the uprising, if you want to call it, the huge protests in 2011 and 2012, and the defeat of the recalls, I think many people in Wisconsin who don't like the direction that Walker's pulling the state gave up hope. And that's a very destructive response, and I think it's an ahistorical response because you don't always win. You don't always win the first time, the second time, the third time, but it's important to keep on fighting. And that is the lesson of July 4th in our country's founding, and it's also, I think, the lesson of the last year. Yes, the Walker administration was able to pass and ram through a lot of bad pieces of legislation and implement bad public policy, but on a whole range of issues, of the people, by raising their voices, we didn't have 110,000 people around the square on the weekends, but people raised their voices and were able to succeed. And I think that's an important lesson for people to take on this July 4th.
So you are looking at these as victories of the people, and because in a sense they were legislative or Walker administration failures.
True. So they're kind of defensive victories, but they're still victories. And I think they are important to celebrate. Another reason we decided to do this on July 4th is because it was just a year ago this weekend that there was this sneak attack on the open records of Wisconsin, our cherished tradition of open records as they apply to legislators. Remember, Speaker Voss and Governor Walker tried to exempt legislators and their staffs from ever having to disclose what went into making the laws that we pay them to make. And this was introduced, I think, on a Thursday night or on a Friday, and July 4th was over the weekend. And legislators must have almost got pelted with tomatoes in the July 4th parade, because by the time they came back to the Capitol, they had given up. And my hat's off to everyone who protested that, and to all the editorial page writers and editorialists in the newspaper business here in Wisconsin who with one voice denounced this effort, and also Freedom of Information Council and bill leaders. Everybody kind of rose to the occasion, and then everyday people raised their voices, and we were able to stop this, and that was a great thing.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more in detail on that one. That one is at the top of your list of the failed proposals. This proposal would have gutted the state's open records law. It was inserted by the Joint Finance Committee into the state budget on July 3rd last year. The provision would have drastically limited access to public records. Tell us why this was such an outrageous thing in your view.
Well, I think we should be able to figure out what is going into the bills that our legislators, whose salary we pay, what's going in there and why they're going in there. And to have all this stuff exempted from the public's ability to see what's going on in the Capitol is crazy. There was an even crazier part of the bill. It was a kind of a lifetime muzzle placed into the mouths of the staffers in the legislature. And that's a huge First Amendment violation as well. But the idea that we should have open government, I think, is a fundamental one here in Wisconsin. And I think almost everybody in the state agrees, whether you're a progressive or a conservative, a libertarian, Democrat, Republican, whatever, we want to have open government. We want to have democracy here. And this was an attempt to shield the legislators from and muzzle their staffs from telling us, the people of Wisconsin, what's going on in the Capitol.
Do you have any idea what prompted that?
Well, I don't know exactly. I know that Governor Walker wanted to keep private some of his deliberations on some of these bills. There were some lawsuits pending on the University of Wisconsin mission, for instance, and he didn't want that to come out. And also, I think Speaker Voss likes to cover his tracks.
So talk some about why you think everybody rose up, or just about everybody, it seemed, rose up to say, no, you're not going to change the open records law.
You know, it's interesting. You just never know. You never know what is going to arouse the public and get people so outraged that they demand that the government stop doing what it's intending to do if they think it's bad public policy. And so this was an occasion where it was kind of a wildfire. Secrecy law proposal bill was floated, and it sank real quick. It sank real quick because, in part, because I think editorial writers were united and had ready access to publicize how bad it was. But also, and once that reached people, and it also reached people on social media, they just, at their gut, did not like it. And I heard from legislators that there was a lot of noise when they went back to their districts and they responded to it.
Yeah, we don't want our government officials, our state legislators, operating in secret.
In secret, behind closed doors. And then for historians or anyone interested in what happened, you know, on one piece of legislation or another bill, you know, we would never be able to find out because all this stuff would be wiped out. I mean, it's not perfect right now how the legislature acts as far as open government goes, because legislators are able to delete their calendars, you know, every day and not preserve public documents. That's something I think we should work on in the next years ahead, so that they can't just deep six what they're working on by deleting it off their computers. But if there are files on stuff, we ought to be able to get access to them, and the staffers certainly should be able to talk about it, and rather than have that muzzle in their mouth the rest of their lives.
Number two on your list of 10 wins to celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin: removing the Wisconsin idea from the UW system's mission statement and deleting the search for the truth from it. Governor Walker said this was the result of a drafting error and backed off those changes. Talk about why you think this was a big victory.
Well, I think it was a huge victory, and it relates to the first one, because here Walker was claiming that he had some deliberative materials he didn't want to release on who came up with this crazy idea to delete the search for truth from the mission statement of the University of Wisconsin. And my friends over at the Center for Media and Democracy and the Progressive had sued the governor for release of the information, and then documents came out just in the last couple months that showed that Walker had instructed staff to work on with the legislature on changing the mission statement of the University of Wisconsin. So it wasn't exactly a drafting error. But the idea that we shouldn't have the search for truth in the mission statement of the University of Wisconsin is almost laughable, if it wasn't so appalling.
Yeah. And again, why do you think he was quick to back off of this?
Well, I have a theory. Well, he was quick to back off because it looked so horrendous. It was such a PR disaster. You know, the Wisconsin idea, and this it was a frontal attack on the Wisconsin idea, the idea that the university serves everybody in Wisconsin, all from border to border, and not just confined on the campuses, but also that we should have enlightened citizenry here that want to search for truth and find truth. It was just too embarrassing once it became public that they were trying to do this, so they had to backtrack again. I thought you were going to ask me, you know, why did he want to get rid of the search for truth from the mission statement of the University of Wisconsin?
Well, why do you think he wanted to get rid of that?
Well, You know, my theory is that, and this goes in part with the cutting of the budget so severely and the getting rid of tenure at the University of Wisconsin, is that this group, this species of Republicans that are a different species really than Tommy Thompson and a different species from Dale Schultz and other Republicans who have served us before and who are champions of the University of Wisconsin, that this group now, Speaker Voss, Fitzgerald, Steve Noss, and also Governor Walker, that they in a way despise the University of Wisconsin. And not just in Madison, but on its campuses. They view the University of Wisconsin as a hatchery of radicals, and they don't want the University of Wisconsin system to be creating more and more critical thinkers who might object to some policies down the road. And so, you know, they don't want to breed left-wingers or progressives or even active, critically thinking citizens. They want to manufacture good laborers.
We are talking with Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about his recent piece, 10 Wins to Celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin. We're wondering if you're celebrating these accomplishments, too, after the news. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Matt Rothschild, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about his piece about things to celebrate in Wisconsin on July 4th. These 10 wins are actually legislative failures when the legislature or the governor backed off certain policy initiatives. We are talking about his list, and we're welcoming your ideas on what do you think were the legislative victories of the past year, or maybe failures. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We've already talked about the top two. One was the failed attempt to gut the state's open records law. Matt says that's a reason to celebrate. And number two was the backing off, the governor and the legislature backing off, changing the Wisconsin idea, removing the Wisconsin idea from the UW system's mission statement. So what did you think about those two attempts and what happened there? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you celebrating the outcome there? We'll go on with your list, Matt, but I want to bring up one of the few comments we have so far on Facebook. Is Dan on Facebook, who says, "This is just another reason the hard-working taxpayers should not continue to pay for WPR. Apparently, Dan doesn't think we should talk about this. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think this is the attitude that's prevalent among the Republican leadership, too, that we just can't have free and open discussion here in Wisconsin and have Wisconsin Public Radio or Wisconsin Public TV that airs critical ideas. And certainly I listen to your show all the time, and I know you have people on the other side of the fence here giving their views, too. But this idea that you can't possibly have this criticism and that paying for dissent or paying for free inquiry in a democracy is somehow a bad idea. And I just don't think, certainly I don't think the majority of your listeners agree with Dan, and I don't think the majority of people in this state or in the country agree with it either. I think we need to have a vibrant media that brings people from all sides and lets them air their views and respond to questions from you and questions from the audience. I mean, that's part of what democracy is about.
Let's go back to your list of 10 wins to celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin. Another win was had to do with stem cell research and a bill that would create criminal penalties for stem cell research using fetal tissue. That failed, so therefore it's a victory?
Yeah, this is a victory really for University of Wisconsin researchers and for the biotech industry in Wisconsin, which is a vibrant industry, which is a growth industry, and it's important. And I think the manufacturers were in favor of this. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce didn't want to see the stem cell research being crippled. I know the Technology Council with Tom Still opposed this piece of legislation, and you know, this is an area where we could cure some horrible diseases, and why not let that research go forward? So I think this one got stopped in its tracks, and it was a good thing that it did.
Another initiative proposal that was stopped in its tracks, PAC guns in public schools.
Well, I mean, it's crazy even really for me to think that this was an actual good idea, but especially after Orlando and all the horrible shooting massacres we've had in this country over the last 5 years or so. But there was legislation introduced to allow Wisconsin's 300,000 plus concealed carry permit holders to carry guns in public schools or on public school property. A lot of this stuff emanated from the National Rifle Association. But this one was opposed by the school boards, not surprisingly, and by social workers and by the city of Milwaukee. And so this one didn't go far. There was an outcry about it. I remember, I think, listening to Senator Mary Lazick on Wisconsin Public Radio trying to defend this. I was driving back from somewhere and was listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and she was having the most difficult time defending this proposal. And so it went down.
Yeah, and there was a similar one that would have allowed concealed weapons on campus, too, on the University of Wisconsin campus.
Yeah, and so similarly, there was an outcry when legislators, Jesse Kramer and Devin Lemahue, introduced this. It didn't go that far either. The idea that that the answer to gun violence is to fully arm everyone in the state of Wisconsin or in the United States and have them carrying at all times in every place, and somehow that'll make us safer, it just doesn't equate.
Yeah, Matt, talk a little bit about why you think the NRA is so powerful everywhere else and stops attempts for any sort of, you know, expanded background checks and the like. But these two proposals to expand concealed carry failed rather quickly.
Well, I just think proposing it on campuses was something that just is not popular. And finally, you know, when people spoke up, legislators had to listen. The NRA didn't lose everything this last year. They got, you know, switchblades. We can all carry switchblades and all kinds of knives in public now, which exactly wasn't a proposal that legislators were campaigning on, to have everybody, you know, open carry of knives and switchblades or concealed carry of knives and switchblades. So, you know, they had some victories. They are a very powerful lobby nationally and in Wisconsin, but even they don't get everything they want when people rise up and protest.
Another failure of the of legislation that you think is worth celebrating on this July 4th is that there was a proposal that would have essentially privatized our drinking water.
Would have made it a lot easier to privatize it. There is a out-of-state company, Aqua America. I'd really never heard of it before this legislation came forward. And this is a company that likes to buy up local water utilities, municipally owned water utilities. And so there is legislation drawn up to make it easier for companies to buy up these water utilities, because right now current law requires a lot of hurdles to be cleared before the city can sell its municipal water utility, and this would knock down a lot of the hurdles and make it a lot easier for companies to buy up the water utilities. And this one failed too. This is a similar bill to a so-called model piece of legislation that the American Legislative Exchange Council had put forward. That's the right-wing group of very conservative legislators and conservative companies that gathers several times a year to dream up some what they call model legislation and then send it back to the state legislatures to pass.
We are talking with Matt Rothschild, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about his recent piece, 10 Wins to Celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin. This is the hour each week when we talk about issues facing state government. Often we hear from a wide variety of perspectives, and we will continue to do so during this hour. We have a, I'm just going to state this. I mentioned that one of our Facebook callers thought that just talking about this, Matt, meant that WPR should be defunded. And we had a caller who wanted to say, how come I'm only talking to one side? So another, somebody else who is upset with even talking about these particular failures. We hear from Republicans and Democrats and guests from all different perspectives on all of our shows, not always in the same hour. Sometimes we hear from Matt one day and we'll hear from a conservative guest another day. Not every hour has both sides or all sides represented in it. Just let me state that. But if you'd like to comment on whether you consider these proposals that failed, if you consider these victories in your mind or failures in your mind, are you cheering or booing the failure of these particular legislative proposals, the one that would have gutted the state's open records law, the one that would have removed the Wisconsin idea from the UW mission, one that would have hurt stem cell research, the concealed carry proposals in public schools and on the UW campus, those failed. Do you think they should have failed or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The legislation that would have made it easier to privatize drinking water was another one that Matt says we should celebrate. Here's another. There was a bill that would have limited school referendums. So tell us what that would have done and why it didn't pass.
So this was to limit the timing and the frequency of funding referendums for school districts, bond authorities to get more money for schools, K through 12. And what's happened in Wisconsin with the cuts to public education K through 12 is the local school districts are being strangled, and they're not able to fund the things that are necessary just to keep the buildings safe and modern and the facilities up to snuff. And so it's bad enough, in my opinion, that the legislature, you know, is throttling the funding to our public schools, but then they want to get in the way of local communities from trying to, you know, recover some of the damage and decide on their own that, hey, we do believe in public education and we want to fund it. So the bills that failed, they would have allowed school referendums to go before voters only on spring and fall election days. You couldn't have them any other time. And then it would limit how frequently you could come back to the voters and ask if it failed for another bonding authority. Fortunately, this one went down. It was backed, though, by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the biggest business lobby in the state, an incredibly powerful group in the legislature, as well as Americans for Prosperity, which is the Koch brothers organization that is very powerful here, too. So this is another instance where there were really powerful forces on the other side, and yet people raised their voices about this, you know, and it was defeated, which is a good thing. This fight over our public schools, which are the center of communities all across the state of Wisconsin, is a huge battle that's underway right now. And if you talk to teachers or principals or superintendents, you get the real sense that the lifeblood of a community is being cut off by these efforts in the legislature to grotesquely reduce funding and also get in the way of local control as far as bonding authorities go.
So, listeners, did you think that the state of Wisconsin should have limited local school districts from holding referendums or limited only to major elections in the spring and the fall? Or are you glad that this proposal was stopped? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Matt, it's not on your list, but I'm just wondering, there were a number of bills from our state legislature that were limiting local control or be somehow telling local governments what they could or could not do. What's your reaction to that, especially since Republicans are big proponents of local control?
Well, they used to be. But this breed of Republicans that's in charge doesn't appear to be. There was a study done by the Legislative Reference Bureau that showed that more than, I think, 120 bills were passed that limited in one way or another local control. Over the last 5 years, there's been local control limited on paid sick leave, for instance, which is really important to be able to give people. And the city of Milwaukee had granted paid sick leave to its citizens, but that was overruled by the legislature a few years ago. This year, there was a lot of legislation passed, especially to help to protect landlords, which aren't exactly an aggrieved group of people, but to prevent local towns and cities and counties from passing any tenant rights bills that would impose tougher penalties or stiffer penalties on landlords than the state imposes.
Another on your list, number eight on your list, the legislation that would have affected Indian burial mounds. What was it and what happened?
So this was a piece of legislation that would allow you, if you owned property and there was an Indian mound on the property, that you could go excavate it, dig it up yourself. And this was a terrible affront to Native Americans here in Wisconsin. I remember seeing a posting by Patty Lowe on Facebook. Patty Lowe is the great historian of Wisconsin Native American history, and former broadcaster, for that matter. And there was great opposition to this from the Native American community, and I think ultimately it people understood that this was a desecration, and you shouldn't give property owners the right to desecrate Native American burial grounds, of all things. It's interesting, this private property question, because you have a lot of politicians, both Democrats and Republicans, but especially Republicans, championing private property rights. And yet, this isn't on the list because this was something that went through this year. There was a bill passed that took private property rights away from people in Wisconsin and allowed out-of-state pipeline companies, out-of-state pipeline, it's kind of incredible, to exercise eminent domain over your house, to take your property, because they need to push their pipeline through your land. And the hypocrisy here, because you have legislators saying how much they're for private property, and then they turn around and vote for something like that, it just doesn't square in my mind.
We'll clip through the last two on your list of 10, and then we have many callers who will weigh in on them in various orders. But number 9 was this sanctuary cities bill in Wisconsin that would take funding away from cities that called themselves sanctuary cities. What happened there?
Well, this was legislation that would have allowed law enforcement or prohibited local governments, I think like Madison or Dane County, from local governments from telling their police officers that they can't, when they stop someone, say, are you a citizen or not, or show me your papers. It's kind of the show me your papers law. And so they wanted to get rid of this local control possibility, and that one failed. Immigrant rights groups fought long and hard on this, came to the Capitol in by the busload. Joe Costa-Zamarripa, the first Latina elected to this state legislature from Milwaukee, she led the charge on this and did a valiant effort and got it defeated, actually.
And number 10, boy, I think we just learned this, that there will not be a major revamping of these long-term elderly and disability care programs.
This is a huge victory for disability rights community and the elderly rights community. 55,000 elderly or disabled Wisconsinites have been benefiting over the last 15 years from really innovative programs. One's called Family Care and the other's called IRIS, which is an acronym for Include, Respect, and I Self-Direct. Basically, these two programs make it easier for the elderly and the disabled to stay in their homes. And the Walker administration passed a bill that would have changed the way these programs are managed and operated and would have thrown them into the hands of a few private companies to run, and would have disrupted the care that people were getting. And as you can imagine, people in the disability and elderly rights communities weren't happy about that. And, you know, the thing about disability rights is, you know, it's not just an issue for progressives. I mean, anyone can be disabled. Everyone almost in their families, whether you're progressive or conservative, has someone who's been disabled and wants them to have the fullest possible rights. And so there was a huge outcry on this one.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will welcome your questions and reactions for our guest, Matt Rothschild, from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking with him about 10 things that he thinks we should be celebrating on this July 4th in Wisconsin. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is our state capitol report, and we are talking about the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's top legislative victories in the past year, talking about how we, the people, accomplished some significant legislative victories in Wisconsin, including stopping a gutting of the state's open records law, stopping a removal of the Wisconsin idea from the UW's mission, and many others. Talking with Matt Rothschild, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about his recent piece, 10 Wins to Celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin. You can read that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can talk about what he sees as victories for the people. Or maybe you want to talk about some places, some legislative failures, or things that where we took it on the chin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have a full line, so let me go to Jake in Oshkosh first. Hi, Jake.
Good morning. Great show. I have a question for Matt Rothschild. In listening to the program, and you talk about wins, and other people call in and say losses, what do you think about Matt Rothschild, about this statement? What I see in state government and federal government as well is we are gradually coming to a state of tyranny. In other words, be quiet, just do what you're told to do, and pay your taxes. What do you think about that statement?
Well, thanks, Jake, for the comments and the question. I don't think we're there yet. We're not at a state of tyranny yet. I do think there's an increasing intolerance for dissent, though. And you see that a little bit sometimes in Donald Trump and his comments, or it rallies there. There's intolerance on all sides, though. You know, people on the progressive side trying to shout people down. I'm not in favor of that either. I do think in Wisconsin there's a sense of, with Walker and Voss and Fitzgerald and Steve Noss, there's an idea, especially when it comes to education, that we're not trying to educate people to be critical citizens, but we're educating people to be loyal and unquestioning workers. So that gets to your be quiet and just be a good taxpayer a comment. So I think you're on to something, but fortunately we're not there yet, Jake.
Thanks very much, Jake, for the call. Let's go next to Bill in Sheboygan Falls. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, and again, thanks for the program. I'd like to say that the entire Walker administration has been a combination of manufacturers and commerce, the Legislative Exchange, the Koch brothers. All of their initiatives are cooked up outside state and are destroying the legacy of personal protection and personal advancement that's been built up over the years in Wisconsin for generations and centuries. Thank you.
Any reaction to that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bill is putting his finger on something really pernicious that's happened in Wisconsin, and that is we're electing legislators, but actually we're not their constituents, that they view their constituents as their huge funders or their ideological bosses. And so you have, I think Walker and Voss and Fitzgerald, they're all carrying water for the people Bill mentioned, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the Koch brothers, and their group Americans for Prosperity. A story I heard was that Majority Leader Fitzgerald wasn't really for the prevailing wage, gutting the prevailing wage law, which they did this last time. But he was talking to someone and said, you know, this wasn't really our ideas, but Americans for Prosperity wanted it, so we did it. And it reminds me of something that Dale Schultz, the former Majority Leader of the Republicans in the Senate, said. You know, why even be a legislator if you're just going to pass on, be the go-between between one of these outfits and it getting to the governor's desk? He said legislators were increasingly becoming feudal serfs for the folks with money.
We have talked about the 10 state legislative victories in the past year, but let's look at some of the defeats. You mentioned one of them earlier, but where do you think we, the people, took it on the chin the hardest?
Well, on democracy issues, it was a disaster this last session. We had the horrible campaign finance rewrite, which let the super wealthy give twice as much as they used to let corporations, for the first time in more than 100 years, contribute to political parties here and to enshrine the ability of candidates to work with outside groups and coordinate their activities with outside groups. There was also the destruction of the Government Accountability Board just 4 days ago, went into effect. There was the John Doe exemption for legislators that they can't be subject to John Doe investigations. This was a real bad time for democracy here in Wisconsin.
Let's go to Mitch now in Milwaukee. Hello, Mitch.
Hi, good morning. Excellent show, as
yes,
always.
Thank you.
Happy 4th of July as well. And I'm mostly calling in regarding, you've been touching on excellent points, you know, talking about the bail moms, education, et cetera. But especially regarding education, I work both in public and private. It just seems to me that our legislators, mostly on the conservative side, and all of my friends that are on both sides, they all agree on this, they're going in the back room and doing, as you've been mentioning, as much as possible to denigrate democracy in our great state, and with the penultimate, you know, trying to touch the Wisconsin idea is just totally appalling to me and many of my conservative and democratic friends. So if you could please continue to talk about these things. They're not really truly representing us, the people. They're representing themselves in the back room.
Well, you know, I think Mitch is getting to something that a lot of these proposals that were defeated and that we've been talking about, Joy, in the last hour, these are were proposals that people across the ideological spectrum can oppose, and we're kind of appalled by, especially the attack on the Wisconsin idea and in the University of Wisconsin system. You know, Tommy Thompson was a cheerleader for the University of Wisconsin, and actually at graduation this year got an honorary degree and hailed the professors as kind of a subtle dig at Walker and the legislators who are trying to tear down the university. And, you know, you don't need to be a liberal or a progressive to like the University of Wisconsin. There are a lot of conservatives and Republicans out there wearing Badger red.
We, Matt, we did have a caller who wanted to take some issue with your comments on concealed carry. He wanted to say that concealed carry was a good thing in that it prevented a mass shooting at a different nightclub. I don't think he was talking about Orlando. He was talking about one in South Carolina, apparently. You weren't necessarily talking about concealed carry in general. You were considering it a victory that the concealed carry wasn't expanded to public schools or the UW campuses.
Yeah, the idea to prohibit schools and the University of Wisconsin campuses from banning the carrying of weapons on those campuses, you know, the idea that it should just be allowed, I think, is mind-boggling to me. So that's what I was talking about. These were two pieces of legislation that didn't go through, the allowing of guns to be carried on public school grounds and University of Wisconsin grounds. I'm glad those failed, and I don't believe that arming everybody to the teeth is the way to make us all safer.
Yeah, and he also wanted to take issue with you saying that it's legal to carry a switchblade. Apparently, carrying a concealed knife is now legal in Wisconsin for those who can legally carry a firearm. But I believe. So he was wrong. He was saying that this bill did not legalize switchblades, and indeed it did.
Yes, it did. And I remember hearing Sean Johnson on your show say it's not just switchblades; it's almost any blade at all. It could be a sword even, and so you know we could have some more weapons out there on the street.
Yeah. So back in April, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign did issue a report, Walker's Worst 100. It details 100 new laws that were enacted since the beginning of 2011 when Republicans took control of the state government. And you talked a little bit about this. But in your opinion, where have Governor Walker and the GOP inflicted the most damage?
Well, you know, our success stories here was kind of an antidote to this report. But the Walker agenda that's been passed has been horrible for our democracy. I mentioned a few things, especially campaign finance, the Government Accountability Board. It's actually been bad for our health, too, because they passed bills that make it harder for people to sue asbestos manufacturers for the illness they got. And most of those folks, or a huge percentage, are service members or veterans, because they are affected by asbestos at five times the rate of civilians. And also it's bad for our health because they increase the amount of lead. They changed the definition of lead in lead paint, if you can believe that, and decreased the regulation of lead paint. And lead paint is terrible. My wife was a pediatric nurse for 39 years, and it's just terrible for kids to be exposed to that. It's been terrible for the environment. You mentioned state parks, and it's July 4th. A lot of people are camping. Camping's coming up next on this show. They're defunding our state parks. And I don't think there are many people in Wisconsin who want to see our beautiful state parks, you know, go down the tubes.
Well, let's end on a high note, though. In your opinion, what do you want people to take away from these 10 wins to celebrate on July 4th?
Well, just that it is possible, even when the legislature and the governor's mansion is all in one hands, they don't have totalitarian power. The people, as citizens, we the people here, especially on July 4th, need to recognize that if we raise our voices, we can stop some of the bad pieces of legislation if we think they are bad. And it's important for people to raise their voices. Do not be defeated. We can still change policy for the good.
Do you, in our final minute, Matt, is there something that's on the horizon that has you particularly concerned that you hope we the people will be watching?
Actually, there is. What I'm afraid of, and I think a lot of people in the nonprofit pro-democracy sector like League of Women Voters and Common Cause are afraid of, is that this legislature and Governor Walker will go after same-day voter registration in the next year or two. And this has been a great reform for Wisconsinites to be able to register and vote on the day of the election, and I'm afraid they're going to try to steal that away from us.
Thank you very much, Matt.
My pleasure.
Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You can read his piece, 10 Wins to Celebrate on July 4th in Wisconsin, on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me thank producers Bill Martins and Brianne Chasso, and thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. We will talk about camping. We'll talk with the author of Under the Stars, How America Fell in Love with Camping, coming up in our next hour. We're going to talk about teachers' pay tomorrow at this time.